20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks again for taking the time to join us today. My name is Dan Connick. With me today are my partners, as it is each and every other week. It's Matt Fralick and Janelle Mackey. Guys, how the heck are you doing?
Doing pretty well. How are you guys?
I'm also doing pretty well.
Yeah, still trying to get over Thursday night, if I'm being completely honest with you.
I think watching that Bears-Vikings game makes me feel a lot better about how we played.
Yeah. And I'll say this too. I was working a part-time gig downtown Detroit yesterday, right in the middle of the Lions game. And it really helps getting over a loss when you just see a bunch of really disappointed people in Honolulu blue walking to their cars. That definitely always helps. Although, you know, have to say, watching that game yesterday, you can really make a case that the Lions are playing the best football overall in the NFC North right now. Because I know that wasn't a completely 100% Kansas City Chiefs team, but I was pretty impressed with what the Lions were able to do on Sunday against the Chiefs.
I agree. I mean, Mahomes didn't have a touchdown. I don't know. Lions are playing good ball. Like, they're not. I don't want to say they're a scary team, but maybe it just speaks volumes of like the bottom two teams right now between the Bears and the Vikings, just how they're playing. Lions have seemed like have a little bit of a bounce back here right now.
Yeah, I mean, we can't disregard that third quarter though, with what was it, 5 turnovers between both teams.
Yeah. 5 fumbles.
5 fumbles. Like that, yeah.
Jesus. I mean, that was just absolutely terrible to watch. Like, I'm just screaming, like, just go down. Like, you don't have to make the play. Just go down. It looks like that scene from Friday Night Lights. We'll just have, Keith Urban come and duct tape everyone's hands together. Today, though, we're moving past the Eagles, and we're looking ahead to another NFC East team that the Packers have coming up this week against the Dallas Cowboys. Probably the biggest test of the year so far for the Packers. Would you say that? Because I think when you were looking at the season to begin with, you would automatically say the first big test would have been the Bears game. But the Packers, I think, handle that fairly easily. And I think after the first couple of weeks that we've seen, I think we've saw that the Bears maybe weren't as perennial as they were last year, as tough as they were last year. And now we come to this, a road game against a Cowboys team that could very well be one of the top teams in the NFC as a whole. Is this the toughest test of the Packers so far this year?
I mean, yeah, like you said, going into the year, Dan, yeah, I think for sure. Like, we got passed through the first 4 games. There's a couple bumps in the road there, but this was the one I think everyone kind of had circled. Like, primetime game, probably the game of the week for Fox, and that's where they're gonna, you know, that's the big matchup. Like, I'm sure Joe and Choi are gonna be doing the game too. I haven't looked to see who their task is this week, but I would guarantee it's probably that game. And yeah, this is the first big test, and both teams coming off, you know, kind of slipping up on Thursday and Sunday, notably. We're gonna see what's gonna shake out. There's a few things we'll definitely talk about on both sides of the ball for each team, but. Janelle, I gotta imagine this one was one you had circled on your calendar too.
Yeah, huh? Absolutely. I mean, we did do that kind of quarter breakdown. We talked about the first 4 games, and we thought that it was going to be really tough. And a couple of those games did have to grind it out a little bit, but came out on top, except for that Eagles game, which we kind of predicted the 3-1 start. But Dallas, it doesn't even matter, like, time of year, schedule, records, it's always a tough game, because I would argue that the Cowboys are the biggest out of division rival for the Packers, and it's just always like a lot of hate going into that game, and there's always like past issues that you want to get redemption on, and think the Packers have the like a 2-game win streak on them right now. So, but having to go to Dallas after a loss, which luckily it helps that Dallas is also coming off a loss. So it kind of brings them down a little bit. They're not riding a 4-0 record right now. So kind of helps that sense. And I don't know, it's just always an interesting game. Like something big always happens, and it's no matter what, it always stresses me out going into the Packers Cowboys week.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. If there's one team outside of the division that I want to beat every year when they're on the schedule, it's the Dallas Cowboys. I think, you know, before, I guess you could make the case, like before about 4 or 5 years ago, you could make the case that maybe San Francisco and the Cowboys could be number 1A and 1B as the out of division rival. But yeah, for now, I mean, especially with the Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott year, this is the big one. But
what about the Sea Chickens? I feel like that was the second team that came up for me in the Seahawks. Like I hate the Seahawks.
That one is. I think that's a really good recent one. But I think if you're going as a overall whole, it's really hard to argue against the Cowboys because there's so much history there, and so it's kind of funny, like when. I'm going to throw it back almost a year ago when Chris and I did our Thanksgiving episode, and we talked about how the Lions rivalry kind of fell off until, you know, Ndamukong Suh came back and all that happened. And now it's kind of like back to its original height as a rivalry. It seems like the Cowboys is that same way. Like, you know, it might fall off for a few years, but once they're back good and both teams are really good, like this rivalry just ramps back up to a whole nother level for me.
Yeah. And kind of playing off what Matt said, Seahawks were in there for a little bit for me, but then we picked them off 5 times. And I think that kind of eased all that tension.
Yeah. You can't let that, that NFC championship game that will go unnamed, let that ride on your conscience.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I forgot all about it.
Right? but this week, guys, you know, it rivalry game with the Cowboys, and we get to see a familiar face, one that's going to be really tough. It was really tough to watch him last night on Sunday, and it seemed like every time he touched the ball, Al Michaels had to call him the former Packer, and that's Randall Cobb. We get to see him back again this week. And he's had you know, kind of the season that you would expect out of a guy at Randall Cobb's age and stage in his career with the Dallas Cowboys. He's handling punt return duties for them. He's been a reliable slot guy like everyone kind of thought he was, but he comes back this week. And how's it going to be for you guys to see Randall Cobb in that star?
I mean, it's been weird all along. And like he had that first huge game, like week one, and Kellen Moore was just dialing everything up for him. And I did see a drop last night, one that he probably should have. Wasn't that great of a throw. And good to point out, Dan, that Cobb's returning punts when, like, why wouldn't Tavon Austin be returning punts? Like, that's literally the only reason this guy's still in the league. And like, somehow they just have Randall Cobb back there still. That's kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, it'll be weird. Like, it will be kind of, you'll see Rodgers and a couple other guys, I'm sure, will go shake hands with Randall Cobb before the game. And I'm sure there'll be a little John after the first, you know, bubble screen or slant that Randall Cobb has over the middle. But, you know, they're going to go about their business. This isn't new. I mean, we've had a few guys in the last few years going on to different teams the Packers have faced. But yeah, it's just, the drop last night, I was like, oh, he probably should have caught that. And like, I do remember Randall Cobb dropping a few balls very similar to that in the last few years. But yeah, I hope we limit him significantly.
Yeah, I know. Last night was really the first Dallas game I was able to watch this year. And after watching Randall Cobb out there, kind of like gut punch right there, like, wow, this is actually the first time I'm seeing him actually out on the field in something other than green and gold. So I think it's going to hurt, but it's also someone that the team is very familiar with, so hopefully coverage isn't an issue with him so that we don't have to focus too much on him and we can focus on Cooper, because, I mean, that's a pretty decent receiving core that they have. but I think our secondary is good enough that they can keep up with those tough receivers.
Yeah, that's the wide. I mean, wide receiver is going to be, you know, a key for this game, obviously, with a quarterback like Dak Prescott and notable names in that wide receiving core like Randall Cobb and Amari Cooper, obviously. But I mean, is it fair to say that the biggest storyline coming into this matchup is Ezekiel Elliott and that Cowboys running game against what we saw the Packers put up as a run defense this past Thursday night? You know, when I watched last night and I started thinking about storylines, like that has to be the first thing on your mind, right? Is how the heck are you going to stop Ezekiel Elliott, who's, you know, he's been kind of hit and miss. Like, teams have been able to slow him down. Like, last night he had a very quiet game against that Saints defense, but again, that Saints defense is a little bit different, especially up front, than the Packers right now.
For sure. I mean, on paper, it's like, oh, Randall Cobb's playing again, you know, against the Packers. And you're like, yeah, it's Ezekiel Elliott coming into his, what is that, the fifth game now. You know, yep. He really didn't play much, obviously, in preseason. Everyone knows that. He was in Mexico. And, like, 2 weeks ago when they played the Dolphins, like, Tony Pollard ran for 100 yards as well. Like, so they have two guys in the backfield that can torch you. And we saw what the Eagles did on Thursday. Like, they weren't afraid to run anyone at any point. And I mean, that's the biggest thing to me. And as far as the receiving side of the ball, like Janelle pointed out, Amari Cooper's great and all, but Marshawn Lattimore had like a Chinese finger trap on Cooper on Sunday night. Like, he couldn't do anything. Like, he was clearly frustrated, had a couple pass interference plays on him. And I think Jaire Alexander is equivalent to Marshawn Lattimore. So I look for that to be a huge mashup. But I mean, I went to the game on Thursday. I was in an end zone, and I couldn't tell you how many times I saw a 10-yard hole where it just – guys are just getting pushed around on the ball. I mean, there's more to it than that. I think it was just a lot of defensive calls that were going on. Hopefully we make an adjustment, and they're running a few more down linemen set instead of that nickel two-down linemen. But, yeah, I mean, that's number one, first and foremost, is Ezekiel Elliott and that run game. Great offensive line, mind you. I would say it's we could probably debate all day if it's better than the Eagles, if it's, you know, the same caliber. I just think it's been so consistent for so long that you have to put it up there. Notable too, Tyron Smith did have a high ankle sprain when he left the game on Sunday night. Jerry Jones, of all people, I guess, told reporters on Sunday night after the game that it was just a high ankle sprain, which is just a weird thing, again, that Jerry Jones would be releasing that information as the owner. But I guess he's fine. You know, high ankle sprain, always, you know, that's pretty close to the knee, though. You never know really how high up that is. But if he's healthy and they're 100% to go, yeah, that's the matchup I'm looking for too, Dan.
Yeah, and kind of just talking about the run game, that seems to be one of the big weaknesses of this defense still. It doesn't matter the pressure or the secondary, how they're looking. There's a lot of holes, and we even saw that, like, back with the Broncos, Phillip Lindsay was having a heck of a game, and then Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders come in, and Howard has 87 yards, Sanders has 72 yards, Howard has two touchdowns, and it's something that they really need to work on. And you look at the Saints, and they held Elliott to, what, like, 35 yards, and he snuck in a touchdown, and you kind of look at how their game ended, so Elliott, he's a strong running back, but like you said, he can be really off and on. So stopping him is going to be crucial, because I'm not so worried about Dak Prescott having to throw, because I'm pretty confident in our defense in that section, but just allowing way too much running up the middle, like Matt, you said, you could see it at the game. And I think there just needs to be a lot of closing that goes in. And I don't know if it's like the inside linebackers are struggling, because you really only hear Blake Martinez get talked about, and I don't know. That's definitely like the one weak spot on the defense that I still am just not satisfied with, is how many yards per carry they are allowing runners to get.
And running game aside too, you know, Dak Prescott is a quarterback that is extraordinarily mobile. And I think you could make the case that out of quarterbacks in this league that are known for their rushing ability and scrambling ability, he probably plays that the smartest and to his most advantage you know, I don't think he's not like a Lamar Jackson who kind of really has to base a good portion of his game around that ability. But Dak Prescott can scoot. And, you know, the Packers notoriously have just been torched by quarterbacks that can get outside of the pocket and really make a move. And so for that defensive line, especially the Smiths on the outside, Rashawn Gary, keeping contain and keeping Dak Prescott in the pocket, I think it almost kind of is the same game plan that you had for when you had Mitchell Trubisky. If you can make him be a quarterback, I think you can have a good shot at limiting what that offense can do. More storylines, guys. If we're looking at the offensive side for the Packers, two really big, actually we could say three injuries that are going to have a major effect on this game. Offensive line, Brian Bulaga, the right tackle, had injuries that took him out of the game last week. And then two of the really more important offensive weapons for the Packers, Jamal Williams, we don't know what his condition is yet for this week. It does not look fantastic, but his absence really limited what the Packers could do offensively, especially in the run game. And then the biggest one, obviously, is Davante Adams dealing with that turf toe. If this is an offense that is limited in those areas, guys, what are the Packers going to do offensively to kind of make things work? You've got to find something to do without those guys in there.
It's a struggle. I mean, clearly when Jamal went out right away on Thursday, the running game was different. And then, I mean, you don't have 17 out there that kind of just throws away half the playbook, I would say, or at least half of the field. Cowboys have a good secondary, Byron Jones, Awuzie. So whoever's going to, you know, work down the line there, they're going to be matched up on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think Byron Jones is a pretty physical, good matchup for MVS. So you're really going to look for guys to step up. I mean, turf toe injury is not easy. Alan Lazard, I guess, was asked by a local reporter today. He had a turf toe injury. I assume it was back at Iowa State, and so it's one of the most painful injuries he's ever had to work through. And it's just, it's one of those things that doesn't go away. And it's not like it's, you know, a finger or a shoulder. I mean, it's a receiver, you're running, you're cutting. That's pretty much what you rely on. I don't know what they rely on, Dan. You asked the question. Like, I want to say it'd be the run game. I really would hope they would be able to establish a run, at least open some things up. Jimmy Graham was a huge focal point, what I noticed on Thursday. They really tried to get him the ball a few times. It didn't really work out, but I think he's someone that you got to get involved quick. And then MVS, I mean, every week his confidence is building, but that's a tough matchup going against Byron Jones.
Yeah, and I think these injuries are definitely tough. You could see it right away. Williams going down completely changes the flow of the run game, because him and Jones have such different run styles. Jones is a little bit more slippery through the gap, and then Williams can really push for those extra yards. So I think Williams' run style would have been better utilized against a team like the Eagles. So that definitely hurts when Aaron Rodgers is your lead rushing guy. Like, that's a little scary. So I'm not sure. I'm kind of worried about how this run game will go this week. It kind of just depends on the holes that they can open up for Aaron Jones, because I don't think, he just doesn't have that body style that can really push through offensive linemen the way that Williams can. So if they want to get Aaron Jones really involved, they're going to have to be able to open up a lot for him, or he's going to have to slip out the sides. But Adams, like, it was so tough. Aaron Rodgers has 422 yards. The offense is finally on fire, and lose Devontae. So yeah, all these guys, like Allison, he had a couple big catches. MVS, all these guys are really going to have to step up. The tight ends are going to have to get utilized more. So I still think that this is going to be an air game. I think now that Rodgers is really in his flow, and he feels like he looked a lot different on Thursday night than he did the previous three games when it came to throwing. So I think getting that spark ignited, hopefully that can help carry him and keep it going even without Devontae. Hopefully the other receivers around him can pick up that slack until he's back.
Yeah, and with the passing game too, I think the Packers actually, a couple things to mention with this. The Packers get a bit of a break because the Cowboys a little bit thin at safety after that game last on Sunday against the Saints. Kevon Frazier and Xavier Woods both hurt in that game. It does not look like they'll play this week at a safety position that's already pretty thin for the Cowboys. And Janelle, you mentioned just kind of offbeat with the tight end situation for the Packers. I think that's something you have to touch on too if you're looking at the game coming up this week. A lot of negativity around Jimmy Graham's performance, which is kind of crazy to think about, because usually if a guy has 6 catches and 61 yards, you know, it's a an outstanding game for them each and every week. But Packers fans not happy about Jimmy Graham, especially that play in the end zone that arguably he should have come down the touchdown with. For this week, guys, would you like to see more guys like Robert Tonyan and maybe a little bit more Mercedes Lewis in this game? Or do the Packers stick with Jimmy Graham as they have been for this offense so far?
I mean, I think you stick with Jimmy Graham. Not happy by that drop in the end zone and a few other plays I saw. But I think you stick with him. There's some chemistry there with Rodgers. Mercedes Lewis is going to get his catch or two. Tanya and I really haven't seen out there a ton. So I think you got to stick with Graham. But, a veteran can't be making plays like that. You got to go up with two hands and catch the ball. So hope they stick with Graham. If they mix in Tanya a little bit, I mean, he might make some matchup problems there. He's a little bit quicker, obviously, than Mercedes Lewis. And Dan pointed out, you know, Woods is going to be out. Frazier, actually, I think they're putting on IR. So they're going to be banged up. I think, like, their next guy up is, like, Jeff Heath or something like that. He's been there for a few years. But, yeah, that secondary, they could get exposed down the middle and then even just match up with the tight ends.
Yeah, and Jimmy Graham, he's just such a big body. It shouldn't be such an issue in the end zone for him. He really just has to utilize his hands. It seems to be his hands that are the problem, like trying to do a one-hand grab. Like this isn't baseball. You got to get two hands on, especially in the back of the end zone like that. I'm sure they'll continue to target him, which every week I kind of hope, like, this is the game for Jimmy. This is the game for him. And he, like, statistically, you look 6 catches, 61 yards, and a touchdown. You would think he had a really good game, but there's those moments where, like you said, Matt, you're a veteran, you can't be making those mistakes. And I honestly really like Mercedes Lewis in there. I thought that the plays they were running with him are plays that I want to see more. So even though he had 2 catches, I kind of want to maybe get that to, like, maybe like 6 catches, like maybe run that play a couple more times, because he was throwing them for first downs or pretty close to it. So I really like the way they just have him in the middle, and he's just a big target, and I hope that they utilize him more in that way, but I'm sure Jimmy will still be the number one tight end going into this week.
Yeah, good points. Any final thoughts as we kind of get to the end here of kind of our storyline preview of the Cowboys game? We've kind of hit on all sides of the ball for both teams. I think maybe one other thing that that has come up, I think it wasn't Domofsky. I think it was the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I don't remember who had it. Kind of had an interesting note about B.J. Goodson, the linebacker for the Packers, who came over near the beginning of the year from the Giants, who's played in 4 games against the Cowboys and actually has done – they looked at the statistics, and he's done very well going up against Ezekiel Elliott and this offense, and actually kind of made a note that he thinks that he could help the Packers prepare for some of the stuff offensively that the Cowboys do. Any thoughts about him or any other thoughts or ideas on this game?
Yeah, I think a few more to the defensive side of the ball. You bring up a good point about Goodson. Janelle was talking about, you know, how Blake Martinez is the only one seen making plays, and that's only going to get worse. I mean, Will Redmond got bumped out of the game on Thursday with an injury, and then that subs in Josh Jackson in that nickel spot playing next to Blake Martinez. So hopefully Goodson can add some there too. But on the positive side, Oren Burks did practice today, meaning Monday. coming back from the pectoral. So you would like to be able to see him, you know, fill a void in that that inside linebacker hybrid safety nickel position. Hopefully he can get some stability there, make up some, you know, easier tackles for Blake Martinez to fill the hole, because that was a huge issue too I saw on Thursday, just and on you know, against the Broncos. They just weren't able to fill those lanes with the linebacking core and, you know, slow down Lindsey or slow down Miles or Howard. So I'm just, you know, I hope they get healthier that way. It's going to be nice. You know, like you said, Dan Goodson, I didn't see the article or anything, but I mean, clearly he's got some experience against the Cowboys. And if, you know, if Oren Burks comes back, that's just another bigger body to fill that area, because I don't really want to see Josh Jackson on the field a ton, especially in a position where I don't think it's like he's ideally fit there. Maybe we'll get Montrevious Adams back. He didn't practice again today. He hasn't played in the last two. That would be nice. Everyone was, you know, had huge high hopes for him in June or July, whatever it was. We haven't seen him. I haven't, anyways, impact the game a ton. So, yeah, I mean, defensively, they need to figure it out up front. That's really what it comes down to. The secondary is taking care of it. The edge is taking care of it with Smith and Smith. We just got to be able to stop their own and get a little push up front.
And honestly, I think something we have to touch on a little bit is I hope Kevin King is as on fire this week as he was on Thursday, because that is the most impressed I've ever been with him. He was all over the place, and I just want to keep seeing that. I know he did go out at one point, but it doesn't seem serious. I think he came back into the game. I know. It's kind of like
with a groin.
It's kind of like expected, but it's like he was having such a good game that you just hope that he keeps continuing, because I know Goodson, like, there was all this hype for him, and then he kind of was quiet. But I think it's one of those games where familiarity is going to be really important. Like, we know Cobb, and we know this team, like, played them a couple times now since they have the new quarterback running back duo. So really knowing this team is going to help a lot, especially because even though we don't see them every year in regular season, there's a lot of postseason meetups. So I think just having that extra little inside tool is going to do a lot for this team, or at least I hope it does.
Yeah, and real quick, it was Tom Silverstein and Jim Ozarski from PackersNews.com, actually, that had that story. I just want to make sure I got credit out there. But yeah, to excellent points I think you guys brought up, especially with Montrevious Adams. I think that's a big one too, is Dean Lowry got looking at a deck chair against the Eagles, just pushed around. I don't want to rag on the guy necessarily, but I mean, there was just no position holding at all from Dean Lowry there. But yeah, so that's what we're looking forward to coming up this week. We'll have more episodes this week leading up to the game and the rest of the season, obviously. So make sure you stick with us as always with the podcast. Subscribe, rate, review, share the podcast, tell your friends about us so that everyone knows. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Packaday Podcast. I'm on there as well at Decal the Way. Guys, where can they find you?
I'm still on Twitter at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. Janelle, where can all the Cowboys fans tweet at you and harass you about the game?
You can harask me at BigMac_4, MacMack.
We at the Packaday Podcast do not encourage cyberbullying in any forms. No.
Trolling?
Trolling, yes. Trolling.
It's probably a pretty fine line between trolling and cyberbullying.
Extraordinarily fine line.
And I'm not afraid to do it back, so.
That's true. Jen can definitely dish it out just as much as she can take it, so. And then an invitation to go try her out, but yeah. Anyway, guys, thanks again for joining us for this week's episode. We'll see you back again 2 weeks from now. We'll get to break down the post game from the Lions Monday night game. So looking forward to that. But before then, it's the Packers against the Cowboys. And until next time, guys, as always, we finish off. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.